Thank you, Jonathan. 12 minutes past four here, as it happens, which means that we're in the middle of peak hour, not that you could really tell. Quite amazing the whole time round here in Jakarta. One of the things that really is a major issue within Indonesia, a conversation that is constantly going on, and also that it attracts some Australian attention from time to time, is the question of human rights and precisely how this impossibly diverse country of Indonesia can hold the people that it has within it together, and whether or not that's beginning to fray. There are many people who are engaged with this question. One of them is Dr. Sandra Hamid. She's the Indonesian country representative for the Asia Foundation. She's a cultural anthropologist, a journalist, a researcher. She has a strong interest in these sorts of questions, as well as broader questions of political participation in civil society. She's been good enough to brave the traffic and come on in. Thank you so much for coming in, Sandra.
You're welcome.
There you go. You can hear already that the traffic's really firing up. let's begin, I suppose, by going broad picture here. Give us a sense of just how diverse Indonesia is.
Well, you need to only look at Jakarta, right? I mean, Jakarta is really a miniature of Indonesia. You see a completely juxtaposition of rich and poor, of different ethnicities and different languages and religions. And I think these are really the main, what makes Indonesia very exciting and what also makes Indonesia very challenging. And for whoever is going to come and call themselves leaders of Indonesia, and also for civil society who really try to bring and deal with all of these different issues, mainly really the issues of those who have more access to rights and those who don't really have access to rights.
So equality of Indonesian citizens.
Right.
Okay. So when we're looking at the issue of human rights, inter-community conflict and, mm-hmm. and rights between those communities, mm-hmm. what are the main community groups that we need to pay attention to?
Well, depending on where you are, right? I mean, ethnic is one of the issues. And so in some of the islands like Kalimantan, like Poso, have all these histories of inter-ethnic conflicts. But of late, and I think people are increasingly talking about this, and this is not just talk, this is also the reality for many of Indonesia's minority, is the issues of religious conflicts, of the minority rights to observe their religions. And so this is something that I think we need to look very closely.
So those religious minorities, we're talking mm-hmm. about Christians?
We're talking about a branch of Islam that might not necessarily be recognized as Islam.
This is the Ahmadiyya movement.
This is the Ahmadiyya, or even the Sunni-Shia issue that we've also of late become a part of the conversations about these conflicts.
Okay, so take us through then. I mean, we've seen an increase in this sort of conflict. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that becomes violent. Mm-hmm. What do you ascribe that to? Understand that increase?
How long do you have? You have a whole day. Well, I think it's really different. I mean, like, from people who are looking at, you know, economic issue from a Marxist point of view, if you like, it's all about economy. It's all about access to capital, access to economy. You know, I think the consensus is that it's much more larger than that. It's much more deeper than that. We do have problems. In which, when there are contestations, there's no strong sense of law, law enforcement as to how these contestations need to be addressed. And so the louder you are, the more harder you are, the more likely you are to win the day.
So extremist voices will prevail
exactly,
in those circumstances.
Exactly. And so if because such is the case, then you see an increasing forms of violence in this way. And not necessarily just physical violence, but also not letting people to observe the form of violence.
Not letting them go to the church or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And so if you're asking, if the question is that why that is, I mean, it is cultural, it is also, but I think more and more it's about law enforcement.
So it's that these tensions have always been there, but authorities are not doing their responsibility to try to control these extreme groups. Is that what you mean?
Yes, it's the word that it has always been there makes it sound like it's stagnant. It's not stagnant. You know, the community is very dynamic, right? And also people, also it's a model of and model for. Decision is made or not being made, then it gives people ideas about this is the way in which conflict needs to be resolved. And so I would be reluctant to say that it has always been there, but now it's proud out, you know, now it's brought about. Mm. It's not that, but I think it's more dynamic, much, much more dynamic than
the question
that.
Of leadership is a really interesting one, because we're just seeing news come out now that the president's advisor on human rights, Albert Hasibwan, has said that the president has not been authoritative enough in this, that he gives local authorities orders to clamp down on this, just simply ignore him. Does that speak to a way that the president deals with this, or is there something in the structure of the politics of Indonesian politics that makes it difficult for authority to control these sorts of groups?
I would really love to hear what Mr. Hasibwan would say about that, because I think he is the presidential advisor, as you say, right? And so it would really be interesting to see what his take is on this. To answer your question, I think it is a little bit of both. You know, Indonesia at the end of the day also is a community that looks up to their leaders. And I think it's not just a monopoly of Indonesians to have that sense of wanting leadership. And I think this is something that a lot of analysts and observers of Indonesia have seen, that there's not much of leadership in terms of owning the problem. So the president have made a lot of calling, moral calling, and you know, this has to be resolved in a peaceful way, for example. But when it's not being resolved in a peaceful way, we have yet to see what is it that the state is doing on that regard. And so
encouraging people just to resolve conflicts doesn't necessarily achieve much, because when they don't,
there's no consequences.
Happens.
Exactly. And so then you leave then the issues really are to the local level, in which the conflict is really real. And so without that leadership, and then the failure also in many cases the law enforcement, then you have a combination that makes it impossible for the minority to actually obtain their rights.
This is a debate in this country about an award that SBY has received. It's just been named the world's, he's received the World Statesman Award, which is going to be bestowed on him, I think, later this week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from an international organization. Monitors human rights concerns, and yet so you've got him winning this award, but at the same time you've got an increase of this sectarian and intercommunal violence. Give us a sense of what the debate has been like in Indonesia.
It is very widely debated, but this is also, you know, when I say widely debated, you know, I don't have the barometer. It's not like, is it really debated in all of Indonesia, right? Mm. Because then the government or people who are speaking for the president would say, well, it's not really widely debated, right? But I think we can commit it to the community who really care about these issues. It is widely debated. And also, I mean, there's some people who actually support this, like some groups of, you know, Islamic mass organizations like Nahdlatul Ulama actually made a statement that they actually support this and are proud of this. And
but what are the minority groups think? Because it's those voices that probably matter most on this, I would have thought.
Exactly. But and for them, some parts of civil society have spoken. They have spoken up that they think that this is not something that the government is really in place of how do you say that, to accept this. This is not something, they have not done enough to accept something like this.
Mm.
And I think also what made it really, just to give a context of how highly contested this is and how what a slippery slope conversation these issues are, you know, the one of the presidential issues that was being thrown out there is that the strongest and most vocal person who objected to this is a non-Muslim.
Mm.
And then you have, you know, from the palace people, a voice that says, you know, if you're a non-Muslim, stay out of this. You know, I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly the exact quote. And that shouldn't come from anything that close to the state, you know. Mm. I mean, we are a pluralistic society. And anyone should be able to say what they think about this, particularly about this important issue.
We've seen heightened community tension in Indonesia with the different ethnic groups that are there. Indonesia is a much more complex society on that score. But do you think that Indonesia is going through a similar sort of transformation as Malaysia, where these issues start to gain more political traction and start to become a little bit more politically explosive?
I'm not very sure if it has regained political traction. So this is the thing about Indonesia. What's really fascinating and dynamic about Indonesia is that this whole discussion about religion has never translated into electoral votes.
Right.
And so it'll be really interesting what 2014 will bring to Indonesian politics, because all of this discussion about how important these are for politicians are not necessarily important for the electorate. So I think I don't think it's gaining political traction in that way. It is being politicized, but we have seen that it's never been a successful attempt.
Let's change tack on the issue of human rights. I want to just pick your brain briefly on women in Indonesia and women's movements and women's rights there. That's something that I think most Australians would not be paying any attention to, really, is what's happening on the ground as far as that's concerned in Indonesia. What is happening?
Actually, this is good news. And so for once, I have, we as the part of women movement in Indonesia, actually seen in the last election the highest number of women in the House. And this is pretty much across. And that is actually what's really great about that, is that it's actually something that was fought for, something that Indonesian civil society really, really fought for, the 30% quota. And then not only that we have the 30% quota, we also have a ways in which the women should be in the ballot, right? And so this whole, for every three person, there's got to be one woman, and then where they are placed and all that kind of stuff, it is regulated. And so because of that, then we're successful in putting women in the House. And so in that way, from that angle, we have been very successful. But at the same time, we also are getting a lot of pressure. When women are in the House, they have to produce something that's really good, something that not necessarily be asked for by two men representatives, right?
Right, okay.
But for women,
to justify their position.
Exactly.
Right.
But for women, okay, you want more seats for women. What have they produced? How are they different than men? And so on and so forth. But that being said, I think it is now not a challenge anymore. I mean, no one really challenged that anymore. And also, I think this election commission is really committed to having the 30% quota fulfilled by political parties. And so political parties cannot run from that particular electoral district if they do not have 30% of women in their nomination list,
right.
Which is great. We've never had that before. So it's good news on that level. But on the other level, I think also, we have a more, we have challenge from different aspects. In the corruption case, for example, women have been really exposed. So to some respect, maybe this is normal, because women as part of the society, and why wouldn't women be more, why wouldn't women be, different than men? And so you see all these different politicians who are women, who are involved in corruption. But that, as I said, one woman made a mistake, like it represents all of the other women,
so
right?
Women is
so
involved
it's
in
being
corruption.
Questioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that made the question really harder for women. On other issues, I think, the issues of legality of women getting, in marriage, because of the strong practice of illegal married, just using the Islamic Siri or Sharia, using the Sharia.
So there's kind of informal marriages that aren't registered
Islamic
with the state.
Islamic marriage, yeah. Exactly. Then that really makes it, that is a challenge for a lot of women in particular when things go south, and then women really don't have any rights.
No recourse to the courts.
No records, and also the children.
Yeah.
And a lot of women are working towards area. And so again, practice cultural, you have to have the state, really making sure that law is actually enforced, because in this kind of issues, you also then have women being again push aside as the minority really cannot, you know, cannot really obtain their rights.
Lots of concerns there, lots of challenges for Indonesia to face, but we are talking about a country that only 15 years ago was under a dictatorship. And so the transition has been rapid and those challenges will no doubt go on. One issue that we haven't spoken about today is the issue of West Papua. And we're not doing that now because we're going to do it a bit later in the week. And so we're separating that as a different human rights conversation that we'll have a bit later in the week. But Sandra Hamid, it's been great to have the chance to speak to you and just to get you to introduce us to the broader human rights concerns in this country. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Sandra Hamid, Indonesian Country Representative of the Asia Foundation here in Jakarta. It's currently 27 minutes past 7.